We're talking about God's omnipresence. Now, Creighton helped us last week and did a fine job with dealing with God's eternality. You say, what is that? Well, we'll review that, and that's the first thing you'll see on your handout. So tonight, we're going on the attributes of God. In our topics, God's omnipresence, but review is here. Last week, God is unlimited with respect to time. We called that God's eternality. And he didn't really have this illustration, but he used it in words. Think of this box. Yeah, I have a box up here. This box is time. We live in time. Before there was time, there was a God. God created time. We live in time. But before this existed, same thing, okay? Tonight, we talk about a similar topic tonight. God is unlimited with respect to space. Think of this box as space. Everybody with me? This box is space. God created space. Before there was space, there was a God. So let me ask you something. This is a little challenging. Where was God before he created space? No, heaven, space. Where was... Oh, good, good, yeah. Where was God before he created space? The answer was he was everywhere. Not correct. Not correct. Not correct. Where was God before he created space? He was no place. Because there was no place. You can't say he was everywhere, there was nowhere to be. Before God created space, there was a God. And he was not in any place because there was no place he could possibly be. Space had not yet been created. Chew on that for a while, okay? That's what we're going to talk about today, all right? So what do we know according to the Scriptures? We know that God is omnipresent. You say, how do we define this? I'm using, again, and I want to give credit, I'm using definitions from Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. God does not have size or spatial dimensions and is present at every point of space with his whole being. Now, what does that mean? It's not like part of God is in this room and part of God is down the street. God is present at every point of space with his whole being, yet God acts differently in different spaces. Let's kind of break this down a little bit at a time. First point tonight, guys, God does not have spatial dimensions, all right? So we don't want to think of God having spatial dimensions. You say, how do you know that, okay? Well, the first thing is God created space, so he is Lord over space. If God created all things, I'm going to go back to my illustration. This is space. If God created everything, then that means before there was space, I'm going to get rid of the box, there was still a God. God is Lord over space, since God is the one who created space. So we read Deuteronomy 10:14, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it." So the earth, heaven, highest heavens, everything, why does it belong to the Lord? Because he created it. If you create something, you exist before it was made. God does not have spatial dimensions, okay? So before God created what he created, there was no matter. There was no material substance. There was no space. There was no place for him to be because he hadn't created anything. But yet he existed. That's what we're talking about. God does not have spatial dimensions. So he's Lord over space since he created space. Second subpoint, which means he cannot be contained in any space. You can't limit him to a location. And I think many are familiar, even if you don't recognize the reference of 1 Kings 8:27, to what the text teaches. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven in the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house which we have built? Can you make a temple for God? Yes. Can you make a tabernacle for God? Yes. A place where he can be worshipped? Yes. But it can't contain him, because there is no place that can contain him. You simply can't contain him. You say, well, then God is bigger than everything else, right? And the answer is, it's really not accurate, because that's giving him a size. God doesn't have a size. See, if we say God is the biggest thing that exists, then we're saying, okay, so there's all of these things and God is the biggest one. No, God is bigger than space. There's no space and there's still a God. So yes, he would be bigger than everything. But that's maybe not the best way to think about him, because he has, you say, what's your point? He has no spatial dimensions. He is over the space since he created it. He can't be contained in any space. God does not have spatial dimensions. That's number one. Number two, which means God is present everywhere. Everywhere God is present, okay? What does that help me to understand? Couple things. First of all, we cannot hide from God. Jeremiah 23, 24, it's actually talking about false prophets who are trying to hide from God what they were thinking and doing. And Jeremiah 23, 24 says this, "Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him? Declares the Lord. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth? Declares the Lord." See, we can't hide from God. Sometimes we think, you know, nobody sees what I'm doing and I could do whatever. You might be tempted to sin. I could, as a child, I can take the cupcake. My mom will never notice. It's gone. You know, I could take something from work that doesn't belong to me. I'm the only one in the building. No one's going to know. Well, the fact of the matter is God knows. Because no matter what we do, we can't be in a place where God doesn't see us. We can't hide from God. Building on that second subpoint, not only can we not hide from God, we can never leave his presence. Now, we use wording like this. The Bible uses wording. Can you run from the presence of God? Well, you say, well, wasn't like that what Jonah did? Yes and no. You can't run from where are you going to run? Like, I could run this way. He might say, Greg, don't go this way. I say, I'm going to run this way. I'm not running from his presence. He's as much here as he is here. He's omnipresent. So in that sense, we understand Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, we'll just call it the grave, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. And so whatever is going on in that psalm, it's very clear, I can't get away from God. You say, well then, why do we talk about drawing close to God? Because you realize physically you can't draw close to God. You guys tracking with me? Like, how do I get closer to him? You know, well, maybe this will help, okay? Thirdly, God is present in different ways in different places, okay? You say, what do you mean God is present in different ways in different places? Well, sometimes he's present to punish. And I have Revelation 14, 9 through 10. If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup in his anger, of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Where will that person be tormented? In the presence of the Lamb. You say, how could that be? Because God is everywhere, right? We may think of him acting in different ways in different places, but God is everywhere, right? We don't want to think God is in heaven any more than he's in this room, because if that's true, then he's not omnipresent. Now, he might act in a certain way in heaven. He might act in a special way in heaven. God is no more in heaven than he is right here if he's omnipresent, okay? So he may be present to punish. And this one, I have to, I've read that. The second one I have to define, and this is not worded well. He is usually present to bless. You say, what am I trying to say there? If you go through all of the references in the Bible to God being with somebody, the majority of the reference mean to bless them. So when we say, God be with you, what does that mean? It means may he be with you to bless you. Okay? So I'm not suggesting we shouldn't talk that way. I'm just trying to get us to think about it, though. You might say to me, Greg, may the Lord be with you. He always is. There's no place I can go where he's not. But you say, what you mean to say is, may he be with you to bless you. And that's a good thing. And that's where most of the references in the Bible are. They're generally not, may the Lord be with you to punish you. It's the idea of, may the Lord be with you to bless you. So that is what I'm trying to say there. Just one example, Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. When you're with the Lord in that sense. It's a wonderful thing. But thirdly, to be far away from God, what does that mean? Again, you can't get away from him because he's everywhere. But we would say, okay, what that means is to be far away from God is to not be present to bless. In that sense, God is with me in a sense, just as much as he's with an unbeliever, because God's everywhere. But with his children, he's with us to bless us. And there's a relationship there. If a person were to say, I'm far away from God, I think we know what they mean. Literally, it's not accurate language, but it's communicating something. To be far from him is that he's not present with us to bless us. Because of perchance unconfessed sin in our lives or similar. Proverbs 15:29 puts it this way, the Lord is far from the wicked. That's not literally true. The Lord is not far from anyone unless he's not omnipresent. But we know he's omnipresent. What does this mean? It means he's not with them to bless them. But, contrast, he hears the prayer of the righteous, those who believe in Jesus. He is with us to bless us. That's the lesson tonight on God being omnipresent. And what the goal of this is not just to have theological thoughts, it is to marvel in awe at God. Has it ever occurred to you, where was God before there was creation? Well, again, he was no place. There was no place. Okay, I can never get away from him, never. You can run as long, as hard, as far as you want. He's still there. He's everywhere. Okay, and this will even be one of the questions, but I'll end with this as we wrap up. You don't have to go anywhere special to commune with him. I'm from a Catholic background. It used to be you never locked a Catholic church. I don't know if you know this. All the Catholic churches were never locked. Why? Why would you never lock a church? Because what? You never know when you might want to talk to God. I mean, it might be the middle of the night and you are troubled in spirit and you want to pray. So you would go to that church and you would pray. That's what I was taught. Because that's where you encounter God. If you don't believe in the omnipresence of God, it makes a lot of sense. I hear people talk, and I got to be careful. This is one of your questions. Like, I know of somebody, when life gets very hard, he goes to a special place because he communes with God in that special place. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have a special place, but dude, God is in your garage as much as he is in that special place. The place doesn't give you, there's no prayer closet where you can go and encounter God any more than you can encounter him at the kitchen sink. Okay? Now, if you want to pray in a special place, no problems. But the whole idea that that's where I go to encounter God because it's special access to God would be a testimony that I really don't understand the doctrine of God's omnipresence. God is a God who is everywhere. We're going to talk about that in our groups tonight.